This week's parsha is Parshas Devarim, and we will focus our shir in chapter 1, verse number 22. The verse is dealing with the sin of the spies that is described in Parshas Shlach, where the Jewish people sent spies and the spies came back and gave evil reports on Eretz Israel. But here the verse says, "V'tikrevun elai kulchem, all of you approached me, v'toimru, and you said, Nishlecha noshim lefoneinu, let us send men in front of us, v'yach paroleinu es oretz, and they should spy out the land." That is how we translate the word v'yach parolonu es oretz, but literally the word v'yach parolonu es oretz means that we should dig the land. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Brachi explains that since when you dig, you are working closely, you're looking closely to the land, therefore spying is considered in the language of digging. But the Racham HaKodesh says from these words that originally the spies came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them, forget about it, Hashem already promised us that we are going to have a good land, then why are you asking to spy the land? Then the people came with an excuse that Hashem had promised us that we are going to find a lot of wealth in the land, that the Canaanites of the land are going to leave behind a lot of wealth. But we know that if we go to Eretz Israel, then we're not going to find anything, because the Canaanites are going to hide their wealth in the ground, and Chas v'Sholom, Hashem's words won't come true. Therefore, the Jewish people asked that we should send out spies in advance. Like that, the spies will verify that the Canaanites have this huge wealth. And once it's verified that they have this huge wealth, then automatically we will know for sure that they hid in the ground. Like that, we'll be able to dig up the land. So we want to send out the spies in order to be able to later on dig up the land and find the wealth. Because if we don't know that they hid the wealth in the ground, we are not going to waste our time by digging. Therefore, we wanted to send the spies in advance to make sure that the spies will see the wealth. And since the spies will see the wealth, like that we'll know that the Canaanites left this wealth behind. Like that, we will actually dig up the land. So the Racham HaKodesh explains that specifically it is used, the language, in dig up the land, because that was the excuse that the Jewish people gave that convinced Moshe Rabbeinu to let them go and spy out the land. Another interpretation that I heard is that since the Jewish people wanted to make chazaka on the land, they wanted to make an act of acquisition on the land, because Hashem had promised this generation would get the land. Therefore, they came up with the idea that if they will go to Eretz Israel and they will dig the land, automatically the digging is an act of acquisition. Therefore, they wanted that each leader of the tribe should go and dig up the land. Like that, technically, they would all acquire the land of Israel, and to that, Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. The Pnei David says that this play in the words that's written, spying out the land, but it's written, digging up the land, was part of Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuking the people that because of what they did, because of what happened in the sin of the spies, they ended up digging up the land. And he explains that this is based on Tosfos in Tainus, Daf Lamed Omed Beis 30b, where the Gemara says that there was no greater yontif for the Jewish people as Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av, and the Gemara asks, why is the 15th of Av a holiday? And one of the reasons that the Gemara brings down is that Shekolu Meise Midbar, that the dead of the desert finish dying. There Tosfos brings from the Medrash Necha that every Tisha B'Av, on the anniversary of the sin of the spies, all the Jewish people used to dig graves, and they used to lay down in their graves. And every morning after Tisha B'Av, they used to come announcement and said that those who are alive separate themselves, and then the people would separate, and those who died remained in their graves. And in the last year, they followed this procedure, and everybody lay down in the graves and in the morning they made announcements and nobody died, they thought that they made a mistake on the date, meaning that they laid down on the wrong time, and they repeated this procedure until they saw the moon full. Therefore, on 15th of Av, when they saw the moon full and nobody had died that year, they celebrated as the day that the dead of the desert finished dying. But nonetheless, we see that every year they used to dig graves. That means that because of what they did, they ended up digging up the land. Therefore, the Pnei David explains that Vayachparu Lanu Esaras, digging up the land, was part of the rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu, that because of what they did, they ended up digging up the land. Going back to the verse says that we should send out men and spy out the land, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, and they should bring back word to us. That is a normal interpretation. Es Aderech Asher Na Leba, so that we may know which way to go up to it. Veseorim Asher Na Ve'aleihem, so that we may know the towns that we are going to go up to them. Normally, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor is translated as bring back word to us. But here Rashi brings down from the Sifri and from the Yalkut Shimoni that the Jewish people, when they asked to send out spy, asked also another question. They asked, Be'eze Loshon Hei Medabrim, in what language are the people in Eretz Yisrael speaking? What is their language? Clearly, that is not the normal interpretation. And here the Medrash and Rashi are playing with the words that when it's written, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, bring back words, meaning Vayoshivio Isano Dibur, bring back their language. And all the Meforshim and Rashi ask, why did the Medrash and Rashi change the normal meaning of the word? And second, if you are going to change the normal meaning of these words, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, logic would dictate that you would change it also the other time that is written this word, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor. And we find these words on Parsha Shlach, chapter 13, verse number 26, after the spies came back from the land of Israel to the desert, there it's written, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, that they brought back words, Veskalu Eda, and to the whole congregation, Vayarum as prioris, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So if you are going to play the words Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, why isn't there a comment there, either of the Psikter or the Yalkut Shimoni, or Rashi, that when it says Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, that they brought back word, that they actually brought back and told them what language the people spoke? Why only here in our Parsha we make this deduction that the Jewish people asked what language the people of the land spoke? Therefore, all the comments on Rashi explain that there, since we are talking about the spies coming back, when the spies came back, they actually told what they said, because it's listed there what is said. But here, if the normal interpretation is that go spy the land and bring us back word, clearly, if you are going to spy the land, you are bringing back word. Otherwise, what's the use for you to going to spy the land? You must come back and say something. Then why is it written that you bring back words? And besides that, here it's written, what questions we asking? What road we should go up? How are the towns there? Clearly then, when it's written, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, that you should bring back word to us, it means to add something else. Therefore, the Medrash plays with the word and says that they asked Vayoshivio Isano Dibur, that you should bring back what language they are speaking and not bring back words. This Rashi and this Medrash is going to be the main focus of our Shiur, and the question that we are going to try to answer, which is the question that all the Meforshim on Rashi and other Meforshim ask on the Medrash, is what difference is it for the Jewish people what language the nations that are in Eretz Israel were speaking, meaning that it seems to be a priority to the Jewish people, because that is actually the first question that the Jewish people asked Moshe Rabbeinu, that they want to know, that we send the spies. The first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says is, Vayoshivio Isano Dovor, that you should let us know what kind of language they are speaking. And the next questions are as aderech asher naleba, the way that we should go up to Eretz Yisrael, veseorim asher navoy aleihem, and how are the cities that we are going to go up in it. It seems to be that the top question that the Jewish people wanted to know is the language that the people in Israel, the Canaanites, spoke. What difference is it in the scheme of things, what language they spoke? What difference is it that you're supposed to go spy the land in order to find out what language the people there are speaking? Quite the opposite. We would have thought that a priority would be what kind of road we should go and what kind of cities we are going to confront, not what kind of language the people are speaking. The Divrei David from the Torah Zohar brings an interesting interpretation. He says that since it's written in Dvarim chapter 20, verse number 16, that it says there, Rak me'orei o'amim o'ele, only from these nations, asher Hashem Elokecha noisan lecha nachla, that Hashem gives you as a heritage, meaning the people that used to reside in Eretz Yisrael, lo yisecha yekol neshama, you're not allowed to leave a single soul alive. Meaning that you're required to kill everybody that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, says the Divrei David, that you may find people that you're not sure if they are residents of Eretz Yisrael or not. You're not sure if you should fulfill the mitzvah of Lo Yisechaya Kol Neshama. Therefore, the Jewish people wanted to know the language that the people spoke, that if you'll find somebody that speaks that language, then you know that there are people of Eretz Yisrael, and you would fulfill the mitzvah of not leaving any soul alive. So according to the Taz, they had a lofty reason because they wanted to know for sure whom they should kill. The Maskil LeDavid gives two interpretations, and we are first going to give the first interpretation, and his first interpretation is based on what happened in Parshas Chukas, Bamidbar chapter 21, verse number 1. The verse there says, Vaishma Knani Melech Arad, that the Knani, the king of Arad, Yoshev HaNegev, the dweller of the south, heard, Kivo Yisrael Derech Wasorim, that the Jewish people have come through the route of the spies, Vailochem BeYisrael, and he warred against the Jewish people, Vayesh Bimenu Shevi, and he took a captive from it, from the Jewish people. Rashi notes that technically the Knani does not dwell in the south. The one that dwells in the south is the Amalekim, as it's written in Bamidbar chapter 13, verse number 29, that Amalek Yoshev Beretz HaNegev, that Amalek dwells in the land of the south. Then why is it written that the Knanim were dwelling in the south? Therefore Rashi says that the Amalekim knew that if the Jewish people would pray to Hashem that he should destroy the Amalekim, then Hashem would do it. Therefore, the Amalekim decided that they are going to trick the Jewish people. They are going to speak like Knanim. Like that, the Jewish people are going to pray that Hashem should destroy this Knanim. And it won't work because they are not Knanim. Rashi continues and says that the Jewish people saw a peculiarity. They saw that the people who are fighting against them are dressed like Amalekim, but yet they are speaking like Knanim. Therefore, the Jewish people did not use a specific prayer to Hashem that should destroy a certain nation. The Jewish people gave a generic prayer, and they said what is written in verse number 2, that im nosoin titen esaom hazeh beyadi, that if you are going to give this nation in our hand, then Vachrachti Esoreyem, I will destroy their cities. We did not use any specific name because the Jewish people did not know if they are Amaleki or Knani. They prayed generically to Hashem, and nonetheless, Hashem, in his great kindness, destroyed those people, which in fact ended up being Amaleki. Nonetheless, we see from this Rashi that whenever you want to pray that a nation should be destroyed, it is always best to use a more specific prayer, specifying exactly what nation you want to be destroyed. And it is best not to give a generic prayer. Here, Hashem, in His kindness, answered their generic prayer, but usually you should use as more specific a prayer as you can. As a matter of fact, it is not only in the case of going to war, it is in all cases. I will give an example of healing of a refuah shleima. For example, if you know somebody that needs a refuah shleima, then we tell you that you should specifically pray for that person, and we give the person's name and the mother's name. And that will work faster than you praying generically, because as a matter of fact, we pray generically 3 times a day. In the Shmoyna Esra that we pray every day, we say the bracha, Refueinu Hashem Venerofe, Hashem give us healing, and we pray in the end, Roife Choyle Amo Yisrael, Hashem who heals the sick of his nation Israel. Nonetheless, we tell you that you should pray specifically for that person, because by you praying specifically for that person, Hashem will answer your prayer quicker. According to this, says the Maskil David, since the Jewish people knew the importance of being as specific as they can, and the Jewish people knew that there are many languages in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael consists of Knani, Hiti, Amori, Aprizi, Ayvusi, Vagegoshi, therefore, the Jewish people wanted to know exactly what languages the people spoke, because by them knowing what languages they spoke, when they would hear somebody speaking that language, they would know what nation that person comes from. Therefore, when they go to war, they would be able to pray specifically to Hashem. And according to this Maskil David, we could answer the question, why did they put a priority on the language before they found out the roads and the cities? Because since they wanted to rely on Hashem and pray to Hashem, they needed to know the language of the nations that they're going to conquer to be able to pray as specific as they can. Sefer Be'er Basadeh brings a practical reason why the Jewish people needed to know what languages was spoken in Eretz Yisrael, because they wanted to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and if they knew what languages they spoke, they'll be able to talk to the people and ask certain people which way it's easier to come into town and which way it's easier to conquer the town. Therefore, it was necessary that they find out what languages the people spoke in order to be able to recruit somebody that will give them the information that they needed. Sefer Tzedel HaDorech gives also another practical interpretation of why it was required that they know the language that is spoken in Eretz Yisrael, and he explains that a lot of times when we are in the middle of fight, your enemy may give some order, and if you understand that order, then you'll be able to intercept and you'll be able to find out what your enemy is planning, and you'll be able to preempt. For example, if your enemy is planning on running away, or your enemy is planning on hiding, then it's important that you are able to understand the language of your enemy. Like that, you'll be able to preempt, and you'll be able to get an easier way when you conquer your enemy. So according to these two interpretations, it was a very practical idea that they asked. They asked what languages the people in Eretz Yisrael speak in order to find out how to either attack him and intercept the communications of your enemies in order that you should be able to preempt anything that they want and plan to do. The Panim Yafos gives a different interpretation, and to his interpretation he uses what is written right afterwards in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that V'yoshivu oisanu davar, that he's sending spies to return and let them know what languages they speak, and then Esaderech ashenna leba, the road on which we should ascend to it. Rashi writes down that ein derech she'ein ba akmimus, that there are no roads that they have no crookedness in it. Therefore, the Jewish people wanted to know which is the easiest road to access Eretz Yisrael. But the Panim Yafes brings down that since the borders of Eretz Yisrael, as it's written in Parshas Masa in Bamidbar, chapter 34, verse number 5, goes in crooked places. Sometimes the border goes in and other times the border goes out. it is not an exact straight line, and also certain towns that are outside of Eretz Yisrael are also included in the borders of Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara in Masechta Zgitin Daf Ches Omed Aleph writes down in regards to Ture Amnon, where the inside of Ture Amnon is Eretz Yisrael, and the outside of Ture Amnon, which is the mountains of Amnon, is Chutz La'aretz. So we see that the borders do not go straight. And since that at this point, when the spies were sent out, there was no actually border yet, because the borders of Eretz Yisrael were given to us in Parshas Maaseh, that means that the only way that you could find out what is Eretz Yisrael and what is Chutz La'aretz, what is outside of Eretz Yisrael, is if you find out what languages the people are speaking. As the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ayin Aleph Omet Beis 71b, is discussing that if a man is coming and asking a woman in marriage, you are supposed to investigate his genealogy to make sure that he is fit to marry a Jewish woman. But in Bavel, you don't have to investigate the genealogy, because we assume that the genealogy is pure. And the Gemara says that how do I know till where it's Bavel? The Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yosef that Kol Shesichose BeBavel, that anybody who speaks the Babylonian language, Masin Lo Isha, we may give him a woman to marry without investigation. There we see that if you speak the language of the place, it's assumed you are from that place. Therefore, since the person speaks the Babylonian language, he is not required to have further investigation. Therefore, says the Panim Yafes, the Jewish people wanted to know what languages is spoken in Eretz Yisrael, what languages the people of Eretz Yisrael speak. Like that, they will know till where Eretz Yisrael reaches. Because if other countries are bordering Eretz Yisrael, then those countries will have other language, and therefore the Jewish people will know till where Eretz Yisrael goes, and therefore in order to ascertain till where Eretz Yisrael goes, was necessary to know all the languages that were spoken in Eretz Yisrael by the nations of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the first question that they ask is, find out what languages they are speaking, like that you will know till where you have to tour the land, till where you have to spy the land, and you will find out where the borders are. The Maran Gurari explains that the fact that each nation has its own language, it is not just a coincidence or just a happenstance move that the nations have that kind of language. As a matter of fact, it brings a proof that the Jewish people have Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue, because the Jewish people are holy, therefore Hashem gave them the holy tongue. And each nation has what the nation needs, meaning that according to the characteristic of each nation, Hashem created that language to fit the characteristic of that nation, to bring out the essence of that nation. As the Targum Unculus writes down in the beginning of the Chumash, in Bereshis chapter 2, verse number 8, where there it says, Vayifach ba'apov nishmas chaim, that Hashem blew in the nostrils of man a spirit of life, Vayi Adam l'nefesh chayo, a man became, normally translated as a living soul, but the Targum Unculus says, man became l'ruach memalla, a man with speech, which means that each nation gets its chayis, gets his livelihood from the way it talks. Therefore, says the Maral, that since the Jewish people were Dar Deya, they were the generation of wisdom, they understood that every nation has its characteristic and its strength through the speech. And they knew what each speech meant. Therefore, they said that they want to know Be'ezel Loshon Hem Medabrim, what language are they speaking? What kind of language are they speaking in order for us to know what the characteristics of the nations that are in Eretz Yisrael is, in order for us to be able to destroy that nation. The Sfasemes explains, almost like the Guraria, that the Jewish people understood that each nation of the world gets its strength from the language that they speak, as we mentioned from the Pasuk in Bereishis, that Hashem created a spirit of life, which the Targum Onkelos says, the Ruach Memala, the spirit that speaks, therefore the speech of the people is the life of the people. But the Jewish people erroneously thought that in order to neutralize the influence of the nations of the world, there is only one way through Torah. And the only way you could do is that if you learn Torah in the language of that nation, then automatically you neutralize through the Torah the influence of that nation. Then you kind of take that language for yourself, and therefore that nation becomes subjugated and becomes destroyed. But that is only through the power of Torah. Therefore, they wanted to know what language do they speak, in order for us to know in what language we have to translate the Torah in order to be able to neutralize the strength of those nations. Berdes Fasema says that the Jewish people made a mistake because at the level that they were at the time of the Meraglim, they were above the level of time and above the level of nature. And at that level, they could conquer Eretz Yisrael even though they only speak Lashon Kodesh and they do not speak the language of the nations. But unfortunately, because of the sin of the spies where they corrupted their speech, they came down to a very low level. They came down to a level which is natural, and a level of the time as it is now. Therefore, then it is necessary for us to use the Torah in the language of the nations of the world. Therefore, specifically, it's written in Devarim, chapter 1, verse number 5, that Be'ever Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, Be'eretz Moab, in the land of Moab, Hoil Moshe Rabbeinu began Be'eretz HaTorah Zois Leimoy, to translate the Torah saying. Rashi says, what does it mean, translate the Torah? Rashi explains, B'shivin Loshon Pirsholohem, that Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah in 70 languages. And why is it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to translate the Torah in 70 languages? And why only specifically now? Because since now we are going to go into Eretz Yisrael and we need the power of Torah to subjugate the languages of the other nations of the world, that by us learning Torah in the other languages, automatically that subjugates the languages of that nation, and that causes that nation to lose its vitality. Therefore, it was imperative that Moshe Rabbeinu translates the Torah in 70 languages, like that will have the power of Torah to subjugate the nations that are Eretz Yisrael when we come into Eretz Yisrael to conquer it. So according to this Sfasemes, originally the Jewish people wanted to know what language the people spoke, because originally they thought that only through the power of Torah in that language they'll be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And if they know the language, then they'll be able to translate the Torah in that language. They were wrong, because of the level that they were, they could have conquered Eretz Yisrael even in Lashon Kodesh. But once they fell, the only way to conquer Eretz Yisrael is by speaking the Torah in the language that the people in Eretz Yisrael spoke. Therefore, it was necessary that Moshe Rabbeinu translates the Torah in 70 languages for us to be able to use those languages to learn Torah in order to win the wars against the nations of Eretz Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer explains that the 70 languages are equivalent to the 70 nations of the world, and also each nation has a Sar Lemala, has a guardian angel in heaven that protects that nation. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that the Jewish people knew that in Eretz Yisrael there is technically no guardian angel, that Hashem is the one that watches Eretz Yisrael by himself, without any Sar, without any other ministering angel. As it's written in Parshas Ekev, Dvarim chapter 11, verse number 12, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Hasot Tomit, that Eretz Yisrael is a land that Hashem your God seeks it always. Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo, the eyes of Hashem are on it. Mereshis Hashanah, from the beginning of the year, Vat Achrishonah, until year's end. Clearly Hashem watches the whole world. Then what does it mean that Hashem watches Eretz Yisrael? It means to say that Eretz Yisrael has no guardian angel, that Hashem is the only one that watches Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Jewish people knew that if you, the people in Canaan, are in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem is the guardian angel of Eretz Yisrael, then obviously the people of Canaan must speak Lashon Kodesh. And yet, if they are going to find out that they speak a different language, then they will know that the ministering angel of the people in Eretz Yisrael who are speaking a different language must be very strong, because even in Eretz Yisrael, where it's the private place of Hashem, they are speaking a different language. That shows that that angel is very strong, is able to stand kaviyachol in front of Hashem, and therefore it will be very hard to conquer that land. And according to this, the Chasam Sofer answers a very strong question that he has. The Chasam Sofer says that clearly here we are not talking anymore about veiled rebuke. Clearly here we are talking about real rebuke. And yet, when the spies come back in chapter 1, verse number 25, it's written, Vayikhu b'yadom mipri haaretz, they took with their hands the fruit of the land, Vayoridu eileinu, and they came back to us, Vayoshivi oisanu davar, and they answered us a thing. And if we're going to say now that Vayoshivi oisanu davar means that they answered us the language that the people spoke, Vayoimru, and they said, Toivo haaretz asher Hashem Elokeinu noisan lanu, that it is very good, the land that Hashem, our God, is giving us. Normally, you would think that they would say something bad, but we don't see them saying anything bad. And yet, in the next pasuk says, Veloya visem lalois, and you did not want to go up. Why wouldn't they want to go up? Once the spies showed the fruit and they said that the land is good, why wouldn't the Jewish people want to go up? That they want to rebel against Hashem. It doesn't say that the spies came back and said that you won't be able to conquer the land or anything like that. All it says is that they showed us the fruits and they said the land is good, and also that they answered us the language that the people spoke. But besides that, there is nothing written here that the spies said anything that would discourage the Jewish people from going into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains that once the spies told the Jewish people that the people of the land speak the language of Canaan and not Lashon Kodesh, and then they showed the fruits of the land, that means that those fruits came from the ministering angel of Canaan, which is speaking the language of Canaan in Eretz Yisrael, even though Eretz Yisrael is the land of Hashem. That means that angel is very strong. Once we saw how strong that angel is, and we saw the fruit of the land, then, Vroya Visem, we didn't want to go up. We were afraid that the Hashem won't be able to kick out that angel from Eretz Yisrael. As it said in Gemara Soita, Daflamet Hei Omet Aleph, that they complained that Kichazak Humimenu, that the angel in Eretz Yisrael is even stronger than Hashem. Therefore, they didn't want to go up. So according to the Chasam Sofer, the reason they didn't want to go up is because they saw the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. They realized that these fruits must be because of the guardian angel of the Knani, which even Eretz Yisrael is speaking a different language, rebelling against Hashem. Then they knew that the guardian angels of the Knani is very strong. Therefore, they were afraid that Hashem won't be able to conquer them. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to rebuke the people, says, Hashem Elokeichem Hoylech Lifneichem, Hashem, your God that is going in front of you, Hu Yelachim Lachem, He will fight for you in the same way that He fought against the Egyptians in front of your eyes, meaning you saw that the guardian angels of Egypt were strong, and yet you saw how Hashem subjugated that guardian angel. So too, Hashem will do for the guardian angels that are in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem will destroy them all, and like that you'll be able to conquer them. The Divrei Yoel wants to answer this question based on the Zohar in Parshas Noach in Daf Ayin Hei Omed Beis, where there the Zohar HaKadosh is discussing the idea of the Dor HaFloga, the generation of the dispersion, where Hashem created the 70 languages and dispersed the people according to the languages, the story that is written in Parshas Noach, Bereshis chapter 11, where they built the Tower of Babel, there the Zohar explains that the whole power that the people had in the Tower of Babel was because they were all speaking one language, as it's written in verse number 1, Vayichol Oretz Sofo Echos, that the whole nation was one language. And Rashi brings down from Mesh Tanchuma that it was Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue. Therefore, the Zohar explains that even though they were meeting for bad things, but because they were speaking the holy tongue, and Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue, is such a superb language that even though their intentions was to do something bad, nonetheless, because of the language, they were able to succeed and able to do what they wanted to do. Therefore, since they were using the holy tongue to do something bad, therefore Hashem removed their ability to speak Lashon Kodesh, to speak the holy tongue. Automatically, they stopped building the tower because they couldn't speak the holy tongue anymore. They couldn't accomplish what they wanted to do. Meaning that according to the Zohar, it's not like we normally learn that Hashem dispersed the languages, and because He dispersed the languages, one person wasn't able to understand what the other one is speaking, and therefore they stopped building the tower. According to the Zohar, the interpretation is not like that. According to the Zohar, the interpretation is that they were only successful because they were using Lashon Kodesh, they were using the holy tongue, but once they stopped using Lashon Kodesh, then automatically they stopped building the tower. Even though they understood one another, but they didn't have the ability to build the tower anymore, to do evil anymore, because they stopped speaking Lashon Kodesh, the holy language. And the Divrei Yoel brings the Ramban, where the Ramban on Parshas Vayigash, where Yosef disclosed himself to the brothers, there it's written on chapter 45, verse number 12, V'ine einechem royois, that your eyes are seeing, V'ine achi Binyamin, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin, kipia medaber aleichem, that my mouth is speaking to you. Rashi writes down that it means that he's speaking Belashon Kodesh in the holy language. And normally we learn that this was a proof that he is Yosef, because Yosef could speak the holy language, Lashon Kodesh. But Ramban says that this is clearly not a proof, because Lashon Kodesh, the Ramban says, is Sfas Knan, that is the language that the Canaanites spoke. Therefore, says the Divrei Yoel, we see that according to the Ramban, the Canaanites spoke Lashon Kodesh, and this was what the Jewish people were afraid. The Jewish people asked the spies to find out what language they are speaking, because the Jewish people knew that if they are speaking any other language besides Lashon Kodesh, the Jewish people are going to be successful. But if they are speaking Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue, then it's going to be very hard for the Jewish people to fight them, because they have the power of Lashon Kodesh, of this holy language, as the Zohar explains. The people in the Dor HaFloga, in the generational dispersion, spoke Lashon Kodesh, the holy language, and because of that, they had the power even to do evil. Therefore, the Jewish people asked the spies to find out what language they are speaking. And then the spies come back, and the spies bring back Dovor, the speech that they are speaking, meaning the spies tell that the people in Canaan are speaking Lashon Kodesh, and then they show the fruits of the land, which the people are able to get such fruits because they speak Lashon Kodesh, the holy language. Therefore, the Jewish people got scared, and the Jewish people did not want to go into Eretz Israel. The Maril Midiskin says that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that they asked what language the people are speaking is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke, that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them that your intention to go into the land was never to conquer totally the land, as Hashem said, that you're supposed to kill everybody. And the proof that your intention wasn't to conquer the land is because you asked what language they are speaking in the land. What difference is it what language they are speaking, unless you want to socialize with them, you want to befriend them? Because if you just want to kill them, you wouldn't ask what languages they are speaking. Therefore, the Maril Midiskin says that this is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke, that from the fact that the people wanted to know what languages are spoken in the land of Israel, then we know that their hearts were not sincere with Hashem, that their intention wasn't to conquer the land as Hashem had spoken. Finally, we are going to bring the second answer of the Maskil LeDavid, which reinterprets the whole meaning of the words Be'ezeh Loshon Hem Medabrim, what language they are speaking, which the Maskil LeDavid explains that it's not talking about the language, how we say language. It means what words are they speaking, what are they feeling about the Jewish people, if they are afraid of the Jewish people, if they're not afraid of the Jewish people, if they are subjugating themselves, resigning themselves to being conquered. And this is what the Jewish people wanted to know, the feeling of the people of the land. Because if they are already scared that we are coming, that is already half the battle, because their fright will drive them away. But if they are defiant and they believe that they cannot be conquered, then clearly it's going to be harder for the Jewish people to conquer them. So when they ask, Be'ezeh Loshon Hem Medabrim, what language they are speaking, it does not mean the language as different languages, for example, Portuguese or English. It means in what language, how they are communicating the fact that we are coming to Eretz Yisrael, that we are right in the borders and ready to go in. And the Maskil LeDavid says that the Meraglim, the spies, lied to the Jewish people. Because the Yalkut Shmoyne in Parsha Shlach, Remes Tovshin Men Beis, brings that Talmai, one of the giants, saw that the spies cut the fruits. He gave one scream, and the spies fell on their faces out of fright. Then Talmai says to the spies, why did you come? Did you come to cut trees? Did you come to destroy all the idolatries? Is that why you came? You know that the whole world belongs to Hashem, and whoever Hashem wants to give this world to, He will give. And the Yalkut Shmoyne continues that Talmai sent the spies back in peace. So we see from there that Talmai, one of the giants, subjugated himself to Hashem and accepted the fact that the Jewish people are going to conquer the land. And this was not communicated to the Jewish people. It was told to the Jewish people quite the opposite, that the people are strong and they won't give up the land without a great fight. And that caused the Jewish people to be scared. And because of that, the Jewish people ended up exiled into the desert for 40 years. And only afterwards they came into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in the same way that the Jewish people are coming into Eretz Yisrael and they conquering the land, now that we have the land, we should be able to conquer it completely and bring everybody under Kanfei Hashchina, under the wings of Hashem, and then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuild, Bimheira Beyomeinu, Amen.